It's been a while, a year, two, three, five. I've forgotten how many years it's been since we started working through the Psalms slowly. And today we're at Psalm 62. And there's something really special about this psalm that I really like. And it's found in the superscription to the psalm. There's another word for that, the title of the psalm. It's that little blurb that occurs at the top before some of the psalms, many of the psalms. You don't have to look it up. I'll read it to you in just a moment. But first, let me ask you this. Are those superscriptions, are those titles that are in those psalms considered inspired word of God, or are they editorial comments? You might be surprised at the answer. They are considered the inspired word of God. I didn't know that. This is news to me. I usually just skip over them. I don't look at them. I don't even notice them sometimes. Now here is the title or superscription to Psalm 62. And this is why I like it so much. Quote, "For the director of music, for Jeduthun, a psalm of David." As a former director of music, that caught my attention. But who was Jeduthun? Well, he was more than a music director. He was the choir director, the highest form of humanity. Well, that may be debatable. But Jeduthun was the chief Levite choir director of the choir in the temple in Jerusalem, and he led the congregational singing. So there. Okay, let's move on. What did God want to say to us through David in this psalm? And a good portion of what he wanted to say is found in verse 1. But you might not catch it. You might not understand it. Why is that? Well, first of all, verse 1 says in the NIV translation, "Truly, my soul finds rest in God." That's great. But wait, I said that was the NIV translation. The NIV was published in 1978, and it's considered a very authoritative, accurate translation of the Word of God for everyday people. And it's the translation that we use most often here. But of course, there are other translations of the Bible, right, Kevin? Right, Laurie? There are other translations of the Bible. For instance, there is the English Standard Version, which came out in 2001, and that is preferred by some scholars as being more authoritative and accurate than other translations because it tends to be more literal in the word-by-word meanings that it gives. Bible students love the ESV. And I just read verse 1 from Psalm 62 from the NIV. Now, here is the English Standard Version of that same verse. A reminder, in NIV, it was, "Truly my soul finds rest in God." This is the English Standard Version. "For God alone, my soul waits in silence." That's why we had silence this morning. I want you to let that sink in. And the word "waits" is considered the preferred translation in many of the other translations of the Bible. Waits. Both of them are accurate. But you know what? Perhaps the word "waits" is a little bit more challenging. Very much so. To be honest, now, do you ever pray to God and you're just hoping that he's going to answer your prayer now because you need an answer to the prayer, but he doesn't answer the prayer right now and you have to go into the waiting room? Have you ever found that challenging? We ought to open the floor right now for testimonies, and you could share all the ways that's happened to you. Felix Mendelssohn wrote a beautiful aria in his oratorio, Elijah, called O Rest in the Lord. And it begins with those words, O rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Mendelssohn wrote the music for that. He did not write the words. The words are a direct quote from Psalm 37. But, here we go again, that is the King James Version of what he wrote. In the English Standard Version and in the NIV, it says this, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest, wait, be still. They all kind of send the same message. Be patient. Be patient. I love what one commentator wrote about that. He said, waiting on God is not about what you get at the end of the wait. Waiting on God is what you become as you have waited. Wow. Wow. That's a sermon right there, isn't it? We could go home. I need to hear that over and over and over. What about you? Well, that was verse 1. Verse 2 of Psalm 62 says this, truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. I won't go into another lengthy word study on that, but let's just say that in the original language, those words mean God alone is our rock and our salvation. God alone, only God, God alone. And that truth is repeated 5 times in Psalm 62 in a variety of ways. You'll have to read it. Now, see if this applies to you. When life throws some people a curve, and life has a nasty way of doing that sometimes, when life throws some people a curve, many Christians will search for something to hold on to that assures them that everything's going to be okay. And one of the most common things many people search for or grab hold of is money. If I'm financially secure, everything will be okay. Well, if it's not money, maybe it'll be another person. Maybe it will be the spouse. Or maybe it will be, and for some of you, this is happening, an adult son or daughter who takes care of you. Or maybe it will be a pastor or a teacher or a counselor. Any of those things may enrich your life in some way or another, but they are all just crutches compared to God Himself. Are you listening? Did you hear that? Answer me. Did you hear that? What did I just say? Okay, I'll move on. John Trapp was an Anglican minister in the 1600s, and he is famous for this quote, which is referring to Psalm 62. Listen carefully to what he wrote, and remember, this is the 1600s, okay? They trust not God at all who trust him not alone. He that stands with one foot on a rock and another foot upon a quicksand will sink and perish as certainly as he that standeth with both feet upon quicksand. David knew this, and therefore calleth earnestly upon his soul to trust only in God. What did I just say? I can't help but think of that wonderful song, In Christ Alone. Just listen to the words of verse 1. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought or storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strivings cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Wow. Brothers and sisters, God has told us to put both feet on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Amen. It would be a tragedy for you today to only think about that or only sing about that or only read about that and not embrace it. So I urge you, don't you leave here today without fully accepting that gift. Do you realize that so far we've only covered two verses of Psalm 62? And guess what? There's still more material in verse 2. Because of everything that he said so far, David arrived at this statement, I will never be shaken. Now he repeated that in verse 6. But it sounds different in verse 6, or it's written differently in verse 6. This is verse 2, I will never be shaken. This is verse 6, I will not be shaken. Now, if you were just reading this psalm, or someone was reading it to you, that might go past you. It might just go over your head. What's the difference? What's the big deal with that? It's simply this. The literal translation in verse 2 is, I will not be greatly shaken. And a stronger verse 6 says, I will not be shaken. And there is a difference. And I'd rather be a verse 6 person than a verse 2 person. How about you? But I tend to be more verse 2. How about you? Here is the sad truth. When life throws a curveball at some Christians, they don't turn to Jesus. They just complain. Where are you in that picture? Are you a whiner or a worshiper? Maybe instead of asking you and me that question, we should ask the people around us who observe us and who hear what comes out of our mouths. When David wrote this psalm, he was in distress. And we haven't discussed that yet. Why was he distressed? The fact is, nobody knows. We don't know. It seems like people were out to harm him in some way or another. He uses, in verse 3, he uses the word assault. In verse 4, he refers to them tearing him down verbally. He said, they take delight in lies. With their mouths, they bless. But in their hearts, they curse. Sounds like a room full of politicians to me. In fact, it really doesn't matter what was happening to David that got him so upset. What really matters is what David said about God. That's what matters. Just listen to verse 7. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Have you heard that anywhere before? We said it earlier, but it's worth repeating. In verse 10, David mentions some of the things that he thinks we should not put our trust in. And here is what he said. Do not trust in extortion. I hope you don't. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Here is a short and sweet paraphrase of what he just said. Don't chase money dishonestly. But if you do get money honestly, don't let it become the thing you depend on the most. Now, you know, we already referred to that earlier. But boy, do we need to hear it. David used the word refuge a lot. He said, God is our refuge. What is a refuge? A refuge can be a place. It can be a safe place. Especially like a shelter when there's a storm or anything that's threatening you physically. But we also seek refuge for a lot of different reasons, and one of them is we're in emotional distress or psychological distress. What does that look like? Well, some people look for a personal place, like their home, and they don't want to leave their home because they feel so safe there. Or maybe they seek an activity, you know, like entertainment. That could be music. It could be books. I don't know. It could be knitting. It could be food. None of those things are bad, unless they become substitutes for God. And if that happens, they have become an idol. I leave that with you, between you and God. God made it clear, he is our refuge, and he wants to hug you, and he wants to hold you, and he wants to strengthen you. He wants to be your solid rock, brothers and sisters. David summed it up beautifully in the final verse of Psalm 62 with this one sentence, and this is it. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. Isn't that wonderful? I leave you with this. God's power and God's love are yours. He wants to give them to you as a gift. And I hope you know that in your head, but I just urge you to know that in your heart. Wait for the Lord. Stand on the rock. Trust him to be your safe place and receive the power and the love that comes from him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, you are so good to us. In every storm, Lord, you are our shelter. And Lord, we acknowledge that we can be impatient. We ask you, Lord, to help us with that. Help us to wait upon you. Be silent before you. Be still before you. And to trust you completely. And remind us again, Lord, that you are the solid rock. You are the firm, strong foundation of our faith. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.